If everyone will stand, I will read you the two verses for the sermon. The sermon is grafted into Israel, and it's Romans chapter 11, 17, and 18, where it says, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakes of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee." That is it. I will explain to you that I had four sermons already prepared. This one prepared about 6 weeks ago. And when Ken asked me to preach up there, I said, "What do you want me to speak on?" Well, he gave me something I did not have a sermon for, so I got five sermons now that are most I ever had in my life ahead of time. So I've got the five sermons, and it's like things are happening so fast in the world today. We got Afghanistan. What a mess that is. We've got COVID, complete lies. There's so much going on. If you put it up there, then 6 weeks later, it's old news. So I don't know if I can put any more stuff up or not. Well, and a while back, I did a sermon on Acts chapter 10. This is another part of Scripture. This is Holy Scripture. It's in the Bible. And it's so misinterpreted. And this is classified as being a mystery. Well, a mystery. It takes some work to solve a mystery, doesn't it? So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to solve this mystery. And the sad part is I don't think there's hardly a church in the country that would agree with me. Anyway, these two verses, 17 and 18 of Romans 11, are a portion of the mystery of God that is mentioned just seven verses later that pertains to the grafting of the branch of the wild olive tree into the good olive tree. It's a Romans chapter 11, verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conscience, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the nations be come in." There are five important questions that need to be answered correctly in order to understand the mystery pertaining to the verses in Romans chapter 11. The five questions are, who does the following represent? Number one, the good olive tree. Number two, the wild olive tree. Number three, the branch of the wild olive tree. Number four, the natural broken branches of the good olive tree. And the fifth question, who represents the natural unbroken branches of the good olive tree? I decided to give this sermon after I read Dr. Schautzer's article entitled, "Are You Grafted into Israel?" This came to me in an email from the weekly IsraelBibleCenter.com. So I read this thing and I said, wait a minute. This is a messianic Jewish website that depicts this mystery. Now here he solved the mystery. He said that the Gentiles are the non-Jews, and they're grafted into the olive tree, which is the Jews, but are still not Israel or the Jews. It is what the perfect Judeo-Christian church believes. I have reproduced the article in its fullness. Let us look at what is wrong with the article. So I'm going to read you his article, and I'm going to tell you what I think is wrong with it. And you can agree or disagree like anything else. The title of the article, Are You Grafted Into Israel? By Dr. Nicholas J. Sasher. It was written July the 2nd, 2021. So here's his article. With reference to Paul's olive tree metaphor in Romans chapter 11, it's common to hear that Gentiles who follow Jesus have been grafted into Israel. Based on this assertion, non-Jews, that's the Gentiles, are assumed to have become a part of Israel and therefore should follow the Torah commands given to God's people at Sinai. Yet, this reading of Romans is imprecise. While it's true that Paul describes the nations being grafted in a metaphoric olive tree, the image does not suggest that non-Jews are now Israel. Instead, Paul proclaims that Gentiles share the blessings of God alongside Israel, but not as Israel. And that's his first paragraph. Dr. Schatzer's position is that, one, who is the olive tree? Dr. Schatzer says it is the Jewish nation, which he sometimes refers to as Israel. He wrongly uses the two enemies, Jewish and Israel, interchangeably, saying they are the same, but he's wrong. Number two, who is the wild olive tree? He instructs his readers that the wild olive tree represents the rest of all the non-Jewish nations. In other words, it's everyone besides a Jew. Number three, who are the branches of the wild olive tree? He answers that this represents a portion of all the rest of the nations of the world, which are called Gentiles or non-Jews, who join with the Jews in acceptance of their Savior. Number four, who are the natural broken branches of the good olive tree? He says they were Jewish. I guess he includes the Kenites, Canaanites, Edomites, Ashkenazim, the Sephardic, the Hasidic, the Black Jews, the Indian Jews, the Chinese Jews, the Reformed, and the Orthodox, etc. All are the different sects of Jews. He doesn't say which one. And number five, who are the natural unbroken branches of the good olive tree? Dr. Schatzer says that both sets of branches, the broken and the unbroken, are the Jewish people. This would be the Jews who remained faithful. So there's quite a difference of opinion between Dr. Schatzer and myself. And I think that most Bible commentators and Judeo-Christian churches would have no disagreement with the definitions that Dr. Schatzer gave. That is because they are either, number one, unaware of the historical setting that was taking part at this time, or number two, they are aware but want to keep it hidden. Anyone who has gone to a Bible seminary should know this, but most seminaries no longer teach it. So I'm going to raise some questions. The first question, what does Dr. Schatzer mean when he implies that the olive tree are the Jewish people? There are different kind of Jews, just as there are different kind of Christians. They are not all the same. In fact, many of the Jews hate each other. In fact, they hate each other, but they unite when they fight against Jesus, the Son of God, and his followers. For example, does he mean the olive tree represents, number one, the Ashkenazi Jews? The Ashkenazim are, by Jewish books and periodicals, the most prominent of all the Jewish people in today's world. They make up over 90% of all Jewish residents in the world. The strange thing about the Ashkenazim is that, until only about 1,300 years ago, they were not Jewish. They were a Turkish people descended from Japheth and not Shem. History teaches that they converted to Judaism as they were surrounded by both Islam and Christianity in southern Russia, where most of them lived. They chose a religion that would serve as a buffer between the two other main religions. Many have intermarried with the Kenite, Canaanite, and Edomite Jews. Number two, does he mean the olive tree is the Sephardic Jews? The Sephardic Jews, unlike the Ashkenazim, are descended from Shem, not his brother Japheth. They are descended from Abraham and Isaac, but not Jacob. It is not a pure seed line. Most of this line is descended from Esau, the twin brother of Jacob. Esau married into the line of Cain via the Canaanites. After marrying two Hittite women, Esau married a descendant of Ishmael after he saw how disappointed his parents were of his choices for a wife. Most of the Sephardic Jews, unlike the Ashkenazim, are descended from ancestors who were living in the kingdom of Judah, but were enemies of Israel and were not Israel itself. They were known as Idumeans or Edomites back then, but have taken on the name Jews. Three, Hasidic Jews. The Hasidic Jews didn't come into existence until the 17th century. They began as a subgroup of Haredi Judaism that rose as a spiritual revival movement in the territory of contemporary Western Ukraine. It spread through Eastern Europe. Today, most of this group of Jewish affiliates reside in Israel and the United States. These are the three most important of the Jewish sects, but there are more. Which one? Which one did Dr. Schatzer mean when he identified the olive tree as being Jewish? Did he mean the Ashkenazim, the Sephardic, the Hasidic, the Reformed, the Orthodox, and so forth? He just says the olive tree was Jewish. Gets me so angry when they do that. The second explanation that I have difficulty with is when Dr. Schatzer gave his comment that the Torah commands were given to God by God to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. The Torah is one of the Jewish faith's holy books. It is used along with the Talmud and the Kabbalah as major books of study in Judaism ahead of the Old Testament. And most Judeo-Christians do not know that. They don't even know what it says. They do not believe in the New Testament. They do not believe in the New Testament. They do not believe in the New Testament. There is one easy reason why the Jews did not receive God's commandments at Mount Sinai. The Jewish people were not there. That is why God didn't give them the Torah at Mount Sinai. God gave the Hebrew Israelites, not the Jews, the commands at Mount Sinai. In fact, it was the marriage vows that he gave, and Israel, his bride, accepted. The third explanation that I would like to get from Dr. Schatzer is a statement that everyone else besides Jews can be grafted into the olive tree. He, along with most of the church world and the Bible commentators, are saying that the Chinese, Japanese, Indians, Negroes, Eskimos, Incas, Koreans, Caucasians, and so forth can be grafted into the Jewish olive tree, which consists of the Kenites, Canaanites, and Edomites. The people who were not part of the covenant made with God are now allowed to be in the same position as those that were. He doesn't mention anything about most of the Israelites. Who's that? The 10 tribes of the former house of Israel. They are not the rest of the nations that are not Israel. Did you get that? They are Israelites too. They were part of the covenant that God made with the seed of their three fathers. God refers to himself as being the God of the three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Dr. Schatzer says that even though they, the Gentiles, are grafted in, that they are not Israel. He's forgetting about most of the Israelites. The Judeo-Christian forgets most of the Israelites, and most of those Israelites are us. He states that they worship God along with the Israelites, but are not Israel themselves. So you must be grafted in order to worship God. What about the worship of his Son? The Jewish Messiah is not the Son of God. What about the worship of the Holy Spirit? The olive tree is not the Jewish people. The wild olive tree is not the rest of the world. All people of the world, including the Jews, are not olive trees, tame or wild. Who are the fig trees? Who are the cedar trees? Who are the fir trees? Who are the apple trees? Who are the pomegranate trees? Who are the palm trees? Who are the pine trees? Who are the almond trees? Etc. Dr. Schatzer ignored verse 13 of the same chapter in Romans. Look what this verse says. Romans 11:13. For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. What's the nations? Paul was addressing the Gentiles because he was an apostle of the Gentiles. Dr. Schatzer says that the Gentiles were the rest of the world except for the Jews. But Paul did not address the Eskimos, the Zulus, the Incas, the Polynesian Islanders, the Japanese, the Koreans, etc. Who did the Apostle Paul address? He addressed the uncircumcised Israelites. Dr. Schatzer doesn't mention them at all. And now we'll go to the next paragraph of Dr. Schatzer's article that was sent to me in an email from the Messianic Jewish website. Here it continues. In Romans 11, Paul describes an olive tree with different branches. Some of these branches are natural and have been a part of the tree from the start. But Paul also mentions another kind of branch, a wild olive shoot that has been grafted into the plant from elsewhere. The wild branch is an individualized metaphor for Gentiles who have put their faith in the Jewish Messiah. These non-Israelite Jesus followers are now in the same olive tree as the natural Jewish branches grafted in among them. Paul's rhetoric leads some readers to conclude that believing Gentiles had been transformed into members of Israel, and as such, this gives all Jewish followers license to observe every aspect of the Mosaic law, including commands like circumcision and dietary stipulations, whose function had been to set apart Israel from the other nations. Well, that's Dr. Satcher's second paragraph. I made a comment about that. Dr. Schatzer writes that the branch of the wild olive tree is grafted into the non-wild olive tree. This branch represents the Gentiles who have put their faith into the Jewish Messiah being grafted into the Jewish people. Now, who is the Jewish Messiah that both Jews and Gentiles worship? The Jewish Messiah of the Jewish people is not Jesus the Christ, but he says non-Israelite Jewish followers are now in the same tree as the natural Jewish branches grafted in among them. If the Gentiles were true followers of Jesus, as he writes, they would not be grafted into the tree of the Jewish people whose father is the devil. The paragraph is implying that the Jews worship Jesus. This is a lie. They don't. They persecuted him. They tried at least seven times to murder him. They finally crucified him. denied his resurrection and say in their Talmudic writings that he is now in hell being punished for his impersonation of Almighty God. He once again writes that the Gentiles are Jesus' followers and says that they are not allowed to follow all the Mosaic commands, such as circumcision and dietary commands. The last two commands, circumcision and dietary laws, were made, he said, to separate the Jewish people from the rest of the nations. How can the Jewish people be separate from the rest of the nations if the rest of the nations, that is the Gentiles, are grafted into them? This is a very confusing illustration that Dr. Schatzer is making. Now we go to Dr. Schatzer's third paragraph. Though this reading of Romans may sound compelling, Paul does not assert that Gentiles have become part of Israel. Rather, Romans says that the wild olive shoot was grafted into the tree among the natural branches of Israel that had been there all along. Once the wild shoot has been grafted, however, it does not become natural. That is, Gentiles do not become Israel. Referring to some of the natural Jewish branches that have been broken due to unbelief, Paul tells Gentiles to consider their own position, saying, "If God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you." In other words, it would be easier for God to break the olive tree wild, recently grafted Gentile branches from the natural branches of Israel. In this scenario, Paul calls Israelites the natural branches and distinguishes them from you, that is, the representative Gentile whom he warns. Therefore, a distinction remains between those of Israel and those of these nations. Well, I had to give a little comment about that paragraph. Dr. Schatzer writes that once the branch from the wild olive tree is grafted into the tree with the natural olive branches that have been there from the beginning, means that Gentiles are not a part of Israel. He then writes for the Gentiles to beware. For it'd be easier for God to cast them off than it would be to cut the branches of the Jews, the remaining natural branches, off the tree. Therefore, distinction still remains between those of the Jewish people and the rest of the non-Jews. There is a big distinction between the people who were God's covenant people and the people who are not. But who are God's covenant people? We go to Dr. Schatzer's fourth paragraph. In fact, while the natural branches on the tree have been broken, Paul warns that the unnaturally grafted Gentile branches will be cut off if they aren't careful. Though Jews and Gentiles in Jesus are all part of the same olive tree, some of its branches remain natural while the others have been grafted in against nature. More, Paul has ethnic Jews in mind when he notes that the metaphoric plant in their own olive tree, the tree belongs to Israel, and Gentiles have been lucky. Lucky enough to be grafted onto that tree through faith. I had to make a comment about this paragraph. The warning is given to the Gentiles, like the Jews can be cut off if they are unfaithful. The tree is the Jews, and the rest of the non-Jews have been lucky enough to be grafted into that Jewish tree through faith. This is absolute hogwash. His fifth paragraph, Dr. Schatzer continues, "But if Gentiles don't become Israel, into what have they been grafted?" Paul states that Gentile newcomers share in the rich root of the olive tree. This root is not the nation of Israel, but rather Yahshua himself. Near the end of Romans, Paul quotes from Isaiah 11:10 from the Septuagint to show that Jesus emerges from the house of David and governs all the nations. The root of Jesse will come. He will arise to rule the Gentiles. Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 12. Thus, when Paul mentions the root of the olive tree, he's talking about Jesus. It is this messianic root that Gentiles now share with Israel. And Paul underscores this reality with a further quotation to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43. Quote, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people," Romans 15, 10. Jesus' Gentile followers worship God with the people of Israel, but not as Israel. Get this. The nations are adopted into the family of God alongside the biological children. And Paul assures Gentiles that this adoption will instill them with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Well, I had a little comment about this. We now get to the heart of the article. Dr. Schatzer says that the root of the olive tree is the messianic root that the Gentiles now share with Israel. That the root who says is Jesus will rule over all the Gentiles. Dr. Schatzer then makes an astounding statement. It's a lie. Quote, "The nations are adopted into the family of God alongside the biological children." And Paul assures Gentiles that this adoption will instill them with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Schatzer quickly asserts a very important heresy. The Gentiles are the ones that are adopted into the family of God, while the Jews are the biological children of God. But the Jews are not the biological children of God. They are the exact opposite. Their father is the devil. What he omits is that the Jews say they will rule with their father, the devil, and will have 200 non-Jews as their servants for each Jew. It will be a worldwide rule, the last one-world government. And now we have a Bible they give, the Jewish New Testament. They put their name right there, and they give you a New Testament Bible. Comment about this. Why do Christians believe in what the Jews believe about the Bible? Our Savior, Jesus the Christ, told us that they are liars. Don't we believe him? Do we believe they're liars? They attempted to murder him from his birth till he was an adult. They plotted his murder. They eventually couldn't find him guilty of anything, but charged him with blasphemy anyway. They lied about his resurrection. They bribed the guards who were guarding his tomb to lie. They have plotted the murder of the descendants of the seed of Jacob. Our kinsman redeemer wasn't of their seed line. He was of ours. Now let's get to the heart of the article. Number one, who was represented by the olive tree? The article says the olive tree represents the Jewish nation. I give my comment. The olive tree does not represent the enemy of Jesus the Christ. It represents his people, who are the descendants of Jacob Israel. This is not the Jews. Jews and Israel are not the same people. Jews and Israel are not the same people. The Jews have always hated Jesus the Christ. Remember, they say in their holy books that Jesus was an imposter and is now in hell, boiling in a hot pot of semen. The olive tree does not represent the Ashkenazi Jews, who are descended from Japheth, not Shem. It does not represent the Sephardic Jews, who are descended from Esau, not his twin brother Jacob Israel. It does not represent the Hasidic Jews, who did not come on the scene until many centuries later. It does not represent the Reformed or the Orthodox Jews. It does not represent any of the other sects of Jews. The olive tree is not Jewish. The olive tree represents the pure seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. Jacob's twin brother despised the bloodline of the covenant. He forsook the covenant that God had made with his father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. Esau took racial aliens as wives and spread the blood of the devil worldwide. Esau married into the forbidden line of Cain. Most Adam man doesn't believe, like their ancestors did, that there are children of the devil alive in the world in which they live. They believe incorrectly there's only one race, that is the human race. This is one of the destructive heresies that many of the deceived Christians believe, and is causing their future extinction. The olive tree represents, when the apostle gave it, only part of the kingdom of God. It originally represented the entire kingdom of God, but after the house of Israel was divorced, it only represented the kingdom of Judah. This kingdom included the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Number two, who are the branches from the wild olive tree? I remind you, the article says it's all the non-Jewish people, that is the Gentiles. I say the word Gentile means nations. One person cannot be a Gentile. One person can't be a nation. It first meant non-Roman, but has now been given the meaning of being non-Jewish. Both later two meanings are wrong. Gentile means nations. But what nations are they? The article says it means all the nations of the world except the Jewish nation. But the word Gentile gently means the nations of Israel or the 10 tribes that were divorced for 7 centuries. Each son of Jacob became a different nation. Does anyone know of 13 Jewish nations? But I bet they would know most of the 13 Israel nations. The context of the verses where Gentile is used would indicate that the word usually meant the 10 tribes of Israel, the former house of Israel. The article mentions nothing about this. One reason is that none of the 10 tribes of Israel are ever called Jews in any Bible. Never. The Jews themselves agree on this point. Only the house of Judah, where the Edomites came to live and became dominant, were ever wrongly called Jews instead of Judeans. Judeans consisted of both true Israelites and impostors, known as Jews. The word Jew and Jews was not even used in our Bibles until about 200 years ago. In fact, there was no letter J in the English language until then either. In fact, the first place the word Jew or Jew is used in the King James Bible is in 2 Kings, chapter 16, verse 5 and 6. I'll read it to you. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war and besieged Ahaz, king of Judah, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drove the Jews. First place the word Jews is used in the Bible. Should be Judeans from Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwell there unto this day. These two verses describe the battle that was fought between the house of Israel and Syria against the house of Judah in Jerusalem. They couldn't conquer the house of Judah, so it says in verse 6 that Syria drove the Judeans, not the Jews, from the town of Elath. The house of Israel and Syria were fighting the house of Judah. Only the house of Judah are ever wrongly called Jews. The house of Israel were never identified as being Jews, as they weren't in this verse. To continue, if Jesus were a Jew, why didn't he live where most of the Jews lived? Most of the Jews during the first advent lived in Jerusalem. Jesus didn't live near the capital city very long. The Bible indicates that Edomite Jew tried to kill him when he was a young baby. When he was a little bit under the age of 2 years old, his parents took him to safety in Egypt until the king, the Edomite, died. When they returned, they decided not to live in Judea, as there was still the threat of assassination. Have most Christians ever thought much about this situation? They hear the story every Mass of Christ's Day. Why did the Edomite king desire to kill the baby Jesus? What had he done? What had there been a caravan of men from Parthia that had come to honor his birth? Who were the men of Parthia? What was so special about him? Was Jesus qualified to be the king? The king of whom? If Jesus were Jewish, then who was the Edomite king? Where were the white men living at this time? Where did his parents take Jesus to live and save their young son from being murdered once again? They went north of Jerusalem, past Samaria, to live in Galilee. Galilee was where most of the tribe of Benjamin and the house of Judah lived. There were a few of the tribe of Judah and Levi who also lived there too. But where was the home of Mary Magdalene? In Galilee. Where did Jesus do most of his teaching and healing? It was in Galilee. Where is the site of the Sermon on the Mount? In Galilee. Where did Jesus perform numerous miracles? In Galilee. Where did Jesus call 11 of his disciples? In Galilee. Where did Jesus feed his multitudes? In Galilee. Where did Jesus appear to his disciples on the sea? In Galilee. What was the name of that sea? The Sea of Galilee. Where did Jesus heal a demonic? In Galilee. Etc., etc., etc. But the nation of Israel during the life of Jesus' 33 years was in worse shape than it was in Germany a century ago and what it is in America today. They were almost completely under the control of their enemy. That was the case in Jerusalem. The writer of this article says the men of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, were the Jews. He ignores the house of Israel, who had been divorced by Almighty God for seven centuries. The house of Israel was over three times the size of the house of Judah. And he also has no comment about who the Edomites were. My conclusion. The mystery, the grafting in of the wild olive branch into the good olive tree is a mystery. Something hard to figure out. You got to know something. The mystery of this situation is explained by the Apostle Paul. Number one, the olive tree originally was the kingdom of God or Israel. But after the divorce of the house of Israel, it became the kingdom of Judah. And later, even several of the branches of this tree were broken off because of the sin of miscegenation. The kingdom of God at this time was a very, very, very tiny remnant. Number two, the wild olive tree was a divorced former kingdom of Israel. They were referred as being wild because they had been divorced by Almighty God for violating their covenant status. There could be no longer any fellowship between the members of the two former kingdoms. But they were still Israelites, but were now a wild olive tree. Number three, the writer of the article says the branch of the wild olive tree are all the rest of the people in the world who are not Jewish. But that is false. It's the remainder of the kingdom of God. The former 10 tribes of the house of Israel, not the whole world. For the writer says the natural branches of the good olive tree are the Jewish people. He doesn't mention which one, whether it's the Ashkenazi or the Sephardic or the Hasidic or any others. He just says the natural branches are the Jews and leaves out three quarters of the Israel people. He doesn't say one word about them. The natural branches are the tribes from the kingdom of Judah. Some of them were cut off as they disobeyed God and practiced interracial marriages. This made their holy seed mingle with the seed of the devil. The children from this miscegenation were forever put out of the kingdom of God. The branch of the wild olive tree was grafted into the natural branches of the original olive tree. The Israelites, who had been divorced for over 7 centuries, 700 years, had finally been rejoined with the rest of the covenant people, the kingdom of Judah. This occurred after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus the Christ. He took his blood offering to pay the sin debt for his covenant people. The house of Israel, called Gentiles, the people who the Apostle Paul was addressing, were reunited back into the covenant. Number 5, who were the natural branches of the good olive tree who were not cut off? Dr. Schatzer says that these were the Jewish people. The Jewish people were both the natural branches that were cut off and the natural branches that remained. He didn't say anything about the Jewish people who were cut off, and totally ignores the former house of Israel. He just glorified the Jewish people who remained. The natural branches that remained on the good olive tree are the remaining members of the non-divorced house of Judah. This was all that was left of the covenant people in Palestine. A very, very small remnant. This included Joseph and Mary, the parents of the Messiah. This was the royal branch from the family of David from the tribe of Judah. This is one reason the Jews claim to come from this tribe. They lust for its power. Dr. Schatzer and all the Judeo-Christian pastors failed to answer this important theological question. They don't answer this question. Where were most of the house of Israel and the house of Judah when the Savior was performing as high priest for his covenant people? Ask them. Ask a Judeo-Christian that question. They weren't in Palestine. They had been scattered into Assyria, Syria, and Babylonia, and had migrated to Western Asia, Europe, and Northern Africa. Jesus' death and resurrection were the signal that he had not only forgiven their sins, but that he had restored their right to eternal life. Praise God. And here is the mystery explained. After about 7 centuries, the house of Israel had been restored back into the covenant people of God. The house of Israel and the house of Judah were reunited back into the church of Jesus the Christ. It wasn't all nations of the world that were grafted into the olive tree. As all the nations of the world were not considered an olive tree, tame or wild. But they had to be an olive tree. It was a branch of the wild olive tree that was grafted into the good olive tree. You can't graft branches from an apple tree or a fig tree or a cypress tree into an olive tree. The house of Israel had become a wild olive tree. They had followed other gods. Many of them had interracially married. They were divorced by Almighty God. They were without hope for 7 centuries. Jeremiah 3, verse 8, first part. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. You got to have the legal paperwork. Doesn't this explain Ephesians chapter 2? It was written by the Apostle Paul, who was the apostle of the 10 tribes of Israel who were in a state of divorcement for over 700 years. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11. Through 14. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. I got a question. Who are the group of people called the circumcision in this verse? Most of the world, including Dr. Schatzer, says it's the Jews, but that is incorrect. It's the kingdom of Judah. My second question, who are the group of people called the uncircumcision in this verse? Most of the world says it's the Gentiles, meaning everyone except the Jews, but that is incorrect. It was the former kingdom of Israel, or the house of Israel, the 10 tribes that were supposedly lost. The Apostle Paul was telling the 10 tribes who for 7 centuries was cut off from the covenant were now being given the opportunity to be put back in. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without the anointed, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. At this time in history, the house of Israel and the house of Judah had been separated, not just by distance, but by fellowship and covenant blessings. The house of Israel had no hope. The two kingdoms could have no times of fellowship together. They were two separate nations that had different rituals and different laws. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Apostle Paul tells his listeners the good news. They had been far off for many centuries, but now we're made near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, two made one, and have broken down the middle wall partition between us. After the Messiah's death, burial, resurrection, and his sacrifice were accepted by Almighty God, the two former kingdoms were once again united and had peace. Branches from the wild olive tree were placed into the natural olive tree. The two kingdoms were united once again. The mystery is solved. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.